Well, it's hardly a surprise, given the highly partisan nature of U.S. politics at the moment, that Republicans have a different take on these climate hearings. David Kreutzer is the research fellow in energy, economics, and climate change at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank, and we called him up to ask what he thought had prompted House Republicans to call for hearings at this time.
I think what they're seeing is a regulatory push to enact climate legislation, as it were, or to push climate legislation. And they are worried that the science used to support some of these regulations isn't up to snuff, and I think they would like to check into that.
Now, Congress hasn't been able to pass legislation on this. So what do you think of the president's regulatory framework on climate?
Well, you know, his regulatory framework seems to be pretty much a war on coal. And if you look at the regulations, that's pretty much what we're getting. You know, some additional things, but they're going after coal in a variety of different ways, and pretty much nobody's building new coal plants now.
David, you write a fair amount about environmental economics. Tell us what addressing climate change would mean for our economy.
Well, it depends on how you address it and to what level. You know, we're having climate change. We know that. We've been having it for millions of years. Temperatures go up, temperatures go down, sea levels go up and down. So I think what you want to do is say, well, what do we get for the money that we spend on the different approaches to adapting or preventing climate problems? If you try to simply do it all through restricting carbon dioxide, it gets very expensive, and you don't really get much bang for the buck. I mean, if we were to have fully enacted the Waxman-Markey cap and trade bill, the best high-end estimate of our likely impact on world temperatures 100 years from now is about 0.2 degrees.
What do you think is the motivation of the people who are advancing what you think are inappropriate models of the climate performance?
Well, if you say that there's an amazing problem coming down, you're more likely to be heard than to say, hey, there's really not much of a problem. You're going to get more funding to investigate catastrophes than you are to investigate nothing much happening.
So this is the Chicken Little school of getting budgets, you're saying?
That's a pretty good description.
Now, the House committee that's having these hearings, up until now, they had refused to hold any hearings on climate change. David, what do you think this might signal in terms of a shift of their perspective on the science of climate change?
Well, I think they are more confident in the science supporting the positions they've held. And it's not, the mindless, there's no warming, CO2 is not a greenhouse gas. I don't know of any skeptics, serious ones, that really hold that position. The question is, how much warming are we having? Are we heading to a catastrophe? That seems to be pretty clear we're not. And to what extent can you moderate that temperature increase, and what does it cost? Or are there other approaches, other better ways to spend money to protect ourselves from hurricane damage and tornado damage and to promote economic growth?
Now, as I understand it, the proposed witness list includes representatives from every major agency to talk about the climate change programs and the budgets associated with that. Some cynics have suggested that perhaps the House is looking for an opportunity to further cut agency action on climate change from the federal budget.
Well, I think that we want to look and see, what benefit you're getting from it, and if you're not getting much benefit and it's costing a lot, then maybe they would want to cut it. I mean, that's pretty generic. You want to spend your money effectively, and just calling something, a climate policy doesn't mean it actually is one, doesn't mean it's an effective one, and it doesn't mean it's affordable.
Now, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change will shortly have its latest report out, which gives a 95% confidence that humans are having an effect, and the numbers they have show that we may well be headed on the path to catastrophe here. If Congress can't act, and a president sees warnings that we could be headed into catastrophe, what alternative does he or she have but to use the regulatory process?
Well, there's a bait and switch in that the argument you just gave, and that is there's 95% confidence that humans are having an impact. I don't know if it's 95%, but let's say it's 100%. The question is, how much impact are they having?
Okay,
wait a second. That's where you don't have this huge consensus that people keep talking about. You can get a whole bunch of scientists to agree CO2 is a greenhouse gas and we're emitting CO2. You can't get this 93 or 97% or whatever to say that we are heading towards 7 feet of sea level rise in 100 years or something like that.
Yeah, I would say that the science that I've been shown involving the IPCC is pretty firm about the range that we'll get on the 2-degree rise that international agreements say that we're trying to limit things to. Let's say that the scientists who say that we're headed to catastrophe, there's a 10% chance they're right. Is that an appropriate risk for our civilization?
I don't think there's a 10% chance that it's right.
David Kreutzer is a research fellow in energy economics and climate change at the Heritage Foundation. David, thanks so much for taking this time with me today.
Hey, thanks for giving me a chance to give my view.
Coming up, why some fish contain more toxic mercury than others. Keep listening to Living on Earth.